What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at Monday.com.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day so far. Almost there. Almost to the Memorial Weekend. A lot of you will have, hopefully, 3 days off to sit back, relax, enjoy, do whatever you do. I think we're going to have some great weather. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you for the next 4 hours. We got a lot of things to get into, and we're excited about that. Eric Moses will actually join us at the bottom of the hour, tell you what's going on. As we inch a little bit closer to the month of June, you know what that means. In June, we're less than a month away from a big race weekend out at the Nashville Super Speedway. This will be a big race weekend here on these airwaves on Sunday with the Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. So we'll talk to Eric Moses, the track president, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Willie, what's going on?
Hello, Darren. It feels like New England out there. Nice and breezy, cool, cloudy.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what state am I in when I walked outside today?
No,
it's like,
hey, no problem.
This is nice. I'll take it.
Yeah, take it all day.
And, man, isn't it nice to not have much rain in the forecast? I was talking to some guys. I know Max Herz is out there ready to call some of the games. I've called them through all the years. We've got travel tournaments going on, but, like, the spring fling has been thrown for a loop, right? Everything's getting pushed back. The baseball got pushed back an entire day. We've been talking about the college baseball and how crazy that's gotten and how pushed back it's been. So hopefully they start catching up here these next couple days and get it all in.
No doubt about it. Tennessee handed it to Vanderbilt last night, 10-1. Currently, we've got, what, Florida and Arkansas in an elimination game? Second inning down in Hoover. 2-0 Gators in that one. Watched LSU. In fact, actually, I didn't see it to its conclusion, but it looked like LSU was starting to pull away pretty late.
Yeah, so LSU won, so Vanderbilt plays Kentucky in the second game. So Michelle is already starting to stir it up in here in the studio. So that is win or go home. So it's going to be an interesting weekend for college baseball. You got a lot of those bubble teams. You know, we don't talk about it as much on the show as we do basketball, but it's the same idea. And, you know, there's a couple teams in the SEC that could use a couple more wins to try to shore up their cause. You can always assume, like, it's crazy. If you look at the RPIs and the rankings, the ratings, you know, the ninth, the 10th place team in the SEC is way up there and very deserving probably of being one of the best 64. But, you know, I hesitate to use the word politically, but it's kind of like the committee would like to spread it around a little bit. Right, they want to give somebody in the Northeast a chance or the Midwest a chance. But the bottom line is, below the Mason-Dixon line, that's where the best baseball is played, for sure. And, of course, out west in the Pac-10 or Pac-12. Listen to me, sound like an old man. Pac-10. Why not just say Pac-8 like it used to be?
You could.
Go further back. But you know what I mean. Like, we know that Kentucky, Alabama, you know, these teams that are on the fringe getting in the SEC tournament, they're easily one of the best 64 teams. But it's just hard to – it's a dilemma, I would think, right? Do we allow a 10th team in from the same league, or do we give a team from another conference that's had a great year a chance?
It's what the NCAA Basketball Tournament Committee has to deal with every year.
Oh, yeah.
Every year.
I think it's on even a bigger scale in baseball. It's got to be tougher to really gauge – who the best teams are sometimes.
Yep, I would agree with that.
Not as much crossover regionally.
Mm-mm. You know, I watched a good portion of the Tennessee victory over Vanderbilt 10-1. yesterday. I mean, I know we've talked about it this season. I know we had Todd Walker on, and he was really pumping up Vanderbilt. I said it, I think, after the interview. We love Todd Walker. We love Vanderbilt baseball. We love Tennessee. I love that they're good. I love baseball in this state and in this market. But he's pumping up Vanderbilt. I don't see what he sees with Vanderbilt. I just kind of see this as an off year for Vanderbilt, you know, to their off year to their standards. And I don't see a weakness for Tennessee. I think it's a really weird spot to be in. It's not weird. Like, it's a great spot to be in. But I say weird because when you look at this Tennessee team, they're just so dominant. They make it at times, not at times. Most of their games look easy. This just in, baseball's not easy. Baseball's not easy in the SEC, and they make it easy a lot. And that means everybody thinks they're going to just go on and win the national championship. And if you look at them all season long, they should. But as Todd Walker told us, the last team to do it, the last number one team in the land to go on and finish the journey and run through the tape and be crowned national champs was the LSU team, right? In, what did he say, 1999? That was the last team to do it.
That's crazy.
So there's a lot of pressure on them, and as we know, it's hard. Everybody's going to be gunning for them. But with all that being said, I look at what they bring to the table, pitching, hitting, just everything they do. Look, yesterday they were like hitting little bleeders on Vanderbilt. Like, you expect, you know, the explosion. You know, yes, they'd hit home run, but you're expecting power, right? They're hitting little floaters just over gloves, just dropping in. They just find so many ways to get it done and make it look easy. I just don't know who's going to be able to beat them twice in a tournament setting, but we're about to find out. But, you know, I think they're going to go on and win this tournament in Hoover, and we'll see how it plays out. But they're a really, really good team.
They are. There's no question. They've got the confidence. They got the swagger. They've got the talent. You mentioned it. It's not a home run hitter's park in Birmingham, so you're not going to just rely on that being the only way.
And it won't be that way in Omaha either.
No doubt. I would be stunned if they don't get to the Super Regional.
Yeah.
I think in a 2 out of 3, of course, anything can happen. You just have a bad couple of games. I've seen it happen with some Vanderbilt teams. I've mentioned a few times the 2013 team that had a bunch of guys that had been on the World Series team of 2011 that were juniors, like Mike Yastrzemski and Tony Kemp and guys like that. They had the same kind of year Tennessee had, just dominated from the start. And then they lost 2 in a row to Louisville in the Super Regional. So, you know, the draw, everything. But I would be stunned if they don't get to the Super Regional, and I think they're an overwhelming favorite to get to Omaha and be in position to win big there. It's everything's lined up for them. They're excellent. Now, as for Vanderbilt, you know, it just has not come around for them for their pitching staff. It's just, you know, last night they went with a freshman who has dominated in the midweek games against teams like Lipscomb and, you know, no offense to those teams, but more of the mid-major teams. You know, he's done really, really well. He's a left-hander. He's just a freshman. But he just didn't have what it took to get Tennessee out. It was pretty evident from the start. You know, they put him into the SEC rotation late, but it just shows you that they're still trying to find answers for, you know, who can carry you through. You got to have those 2 or 3 solid starting pitchers to do well in these tournaments. And I think when they get out of the SEC and they go to the regional, I'd be surprised if Vanderbilt doesn't play well there. I think they're still very capable of winning a regional. But when you're talking about winning in Omaha or getting to Omaha, you've got to have those 2 or 3 guys that are going to give you excellent dominating starts in most cases. And that's where they're just lacking this year. They don't have that guy. They had a couple of upperclassmen, juniors, that I think could have been an upgrade that both got hurt. And they're relying on a lot of freshmen, true freshmen, 18, 19 years old, you know, to try to carry them through. And they're just not there. They've got one, Carter Holton, who pitched a great game against Ole Miss, and he's really come on. But he's their best pitcher, and he's a true freshman. So after that, they've been searching for other guys. Some weeks they've got it, some weeks they don't. And there's a lot of talent there, and I think over the next couple of years they're going to get really, really good again. But this is one of those years where they don't quite have everything lined up.
Yeah, they could probably use a Kumar Rocker, but he's pitching for the Mets. Oh, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. He's not.
I was like, is there a Mets team in that league that he's playing for right now? Or the St. Paul Saints or whatever league that is, the Frontier League?
Yeah. Yep.
Sad.
Not playing for the – yeah, no.
Thanks, Scott Boras.
Not playing for the Mets. But, hey, he's going to get redrafted. Maybe the Mets can take him again. Maybe.
They'll have a chance to. They have two first-round picks now because they passed on them. Now,
wouldn't that be something?
That's one where we won't know the answer for 10 years, whether that was a smart move or not.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, honestly, at least minimum 5 years.
I would say 5. Let's not say 10. 5. We'll know in 5 years.
Probably. Well, but if they could draft a kid this year with that pick who's at 18 years old. So in 5 years, will you have the whole picture on that kid, whoever they draft with the 11th pick or whatever it is?
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what Kumar Rocker does. I mean, the whole hang-up was they detected things, right?
Like they detected something in the MRI that they thought was a time bomb.
What is Rocker? Like, well, that's the indicator. Not what they get from this, was a compensatory pick? No. It's 5 years. What is Rocker? Is he in the league? Is he a dominant pitcher?
Yep.
What is he? Is he a reliever? I mean, you know what I mean? I'll be very curious to see how it plays out.
Well, this is, and we'll talk about this as we get closer to the draft. But the real question is, where will he get picked? Because they're going to see the same MRI that the Mets saw.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's pick a round, second round, third round, fifth round.
I don't know.
And you don't have to guarantee him the money. You know, you could offer him $100,000.
There's no way he slides. I mean, someone will take a
chance.
Well,
see, that's the question. Who is going to take the – look, he is a 10 out of 10 in makeup, in character, and he's got so many things going for him. My money's on him. I would risk it. I would have taken him if I were the Mets.
Well,
I would have signed him last year.
Yeah, somebody will.
But that's the question: is where and how much will they guarantee? It's if you don't have $6 million or $8 million of a signing bonus on the line, it's a lot easier to take the risk.
5 years, I want to know. 5 years from now, I want to know if your Mets were the Mets or if they were onto something and they got this one right. We'll see.
Pitcher's health is an inexact science, as we know.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll come back. Boy, what a crazy game in Calgary last night, right? Let's get into that. And if you weren't watching, boy, you missed a good one, a wild one. It was a wild series, but that series is over. Yes, the Edmonton Oilers have punched their ticket into the conference final. We'll talk about that on the other side here on the DDC. But, you know, the temperatures are rising, and, you know, summer's just around the corner. We're heading into June. Is your air conditioner ready? I found out last weekend when it was really hot, my upstairs unit was not ready. And you know what? I had to call Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Yep, they were out here fixing my unit first thing Monday morning, and everything has been good since. So you need to make sure your air conditioner is ready for what will probably be another hot, hot summer here in Middle Tennessee. Costs are rising. We know that. You go to the grocery store, you cringe when you check out. You fill up your gas tank, you cringe when you close that gas cap. When you put that gas cap back on, it's like, oh my gosh, what have I spent? $70, $80, $90 to fill up my car, utility bills, you name it. But is your AC old, inefficient, and costing you more than it should? Well, interest rates are rising, but not at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Qualified buyers have up to 72 months, no interest for a new York air conditioner, and 6 months, no interest for repairs. At Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, all new systems come with 10-year parts and labor warranty. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York-certified comfort expert. All you have to do is just schedule like I did. Go to springhillac.com. You just made the list coming up at high noon. Monster Jam tickets. I won't do it. I'll spare Willie today. I think he's tired of it. He's tired of my nasally, just pathetic Monster Jam sound. But we do have those tickets to give away coming up at high noon. But you'll have to participate. All right. You have to tell us who or what has made you mad. There's a lot of people in Calgary that the Edmonton Oilers have made them mad. Connor McDavid has made them mad. What a game last night. And I'm just going to start with this. Who was it? Coleman? Late in the game, about 5-6 minutes to go. Was it Blake Coleman? Okay, I just want to make sure. On a play at the net, I'm just going to hear – I don't know. We have not discussed this. We have not even group texted our thoughts on this, which did surprise me because I know the show's watching. If they would have came back good goal, I would have lost my lid today.
If they would have come back with good goal?
Yeah.
You thought it was that clear cut?
Clear cut. No way. No way that's a goal. Honestly, I was surprised it took as long as it did. Come on. If you're going to have this silly rule, which I've told you this before, you know, I hate the whole kicking. I would get rid of it. I think it's silly. You know what? If you want to kick it in and you can't stop it, that's on you. I don't care if you kick the puck in. I don't give a damn. But I think it's a silly rule. But whatever, it's a rule. And if they have it in place and intact, don't tell me that's not what he did. Okay, he absolutely skated. I get it. It was a bang-bang play. But he slid into the puck with a skating motion. I mean, there's no way that's a good goal.
Wait, what did you say? He slid into the puck with a skating motion.
Yeah, well, he's sliding in. He's getting ready to crash the net. But he makes no attempt to make a play on
the
puck other than his blade. That's it.
But what's the rule? You have to have a distinct kicking motion.
It was.
I don't know if you could say that was, like, go into a kickball game and try to do what he did and see how far the ball goes. It's not going to go very far.
He didn't have to have it go very far.
I know. Well, see,
honestly, he should have left it alone. It was going in on its own.
Okay. I think I agree with you. I wonder what would have happened if he had just let it go. Just let it go.
It's just not a goal. Like I said, I hate the rule. I wish they'd get rid of it. But it is a rule, and that should not have been a goal. They made the right call.
That is so close, though.
It's not in my mind. Man, it was, to me, 100% no goal. 100% no goal.
I'm not that way. I didn't have a problem with it at the end of the day, but that is a tough one based on the way the rule is written. Now, let me give you the history again. It's been probably 7 years now. They redefined the kick. They were really not clear on what was a kick and what was not a kick. And so they came up with this.
Which is, again, silly, right? Like, just think about what you just said out loud.
Yeah, but you can't. But look, you can't have. It's not hockey if you can just bat. It becomes volleyball or something like it. If you can just bat the puck in with any part of your body. And kicking with skates on is a dangerous thing. You can't let people be kicking around. And imagine if you were allowed to kick, how many people would kicking in front? That'd be injuries, gashes waiting to happen. That's a safety problem.
And I understand that.
So you got to have a rule. So what was happening was they were getting more and more fine on what they were calling a kick. Also, they were saying, look, we like goals. Goals are good. So they redefined and simplified and said, look, if it's close, you can guide it in off your skate as long as you don't do a distinct kicking motion. I can argue that last night he guided it in on the skate, but it was close. You could argue that he kicked too. He knew what he was doing.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
But you're allowed to do it. There are some players that are really, really good at aligning their skates right in front of the net, and when there's like a shot pass, they try to tip it with their stick. But they know if it doesn't hit my stick, it might hit my skate. And if I've got my skates pointed the right way, it's going to bank right into the goal. So I'll tell you what, I was a little surprised. I thought it took a lot of intestinal fortitude in Calgary to wipe that off the board.
Which should tell you something.
because the call on the ice was good goal. You know, if it's a distinct kicking motion, you should be able to see it in real time. When you slow it down, there's no doubt he knew what he was doing. But that's what players do now. They know how to guide it in without making a distinct kicking motion.
It's the only play he had.
Well, the other play he had was just to let it go.
Let it go.
And it might have gone in. But he didn't let it go, so you got to make a call. I would have kept the goal.
I would have been so mad at you. I would have been so mad.
Look, that's one where if it's your team, you are irate if they pull that back. And if you're the other team, you're like, of course, he kicked it. Yeah, he kicked it. But see, that's one where I don't care what you do to replay in the system. That one is, you're going to have a debate either way.
It's a 50-50.
Yeah.
Depending on who you're in.
I'm surprised you thought it was that emphatic. When I was looking at it, I was like, man, I wouldn't want to be that guy right now that's got to make that call.
You already said it. You took the thoughts right that was in my head at the moment it happened. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. That right there tells me a lot. He knew what he was doing.
Right, and here's what he said. My understanding is that you can redirect the puck. You just can't kick it.
He didn't redirect it.
Yes, he did.
He pushed it in.
He directed it.
No, he did not redirect it.
He directed it.
He pushed it in.
He didn't kick it.
Yes, he did.
Well, we can call the recreational game that we used to play at recess redirect ball and not kick ball.
Well, he didn't redirect anything.
He redirected the puck in.
He pushed it in is what he did.
He did. He changed. He
well,
helped
that's
it
not
change
redirecting.
Direction.
No, it didn't
but
change
But see, that's
directions.
The thing. He didn't kick it. He didn't make a kicking motion.
Oh, really?
There are goals scored like that all the time. And people on Twitter, believe me, they were putting examples forward, left and right, multiple goals that stood that were equal or worse than what Blake Coleman did.
What a controversial goal in the NHL.
Huge controversy.
No way. I don't believe you. I don't believe that. Goaltender interference, we can't look at 100 plays and 50 of them, we look at it and we, you know, all of them, I mean, we could play this game all day long. We've done it all season long.
Honestly, I think they just flip a coin.
Well, I mean, that's been my tweets, Elijah, all year. Well, this is how I feel. Now let's pull out the darts and let's throw them at the board because I have no idea what they're going to call. And quite honestly, Willie, if I'm telling you in the moment when they're looking, I'm like, I don't know what they're going to come back with. We've played this game all year long.
Right.
We've played it for years. I have no clue.
But look,
I'm just telling you how I felt.
Since they changed that rule and clarified it and said you can have it go off your skate all day. You can redirect it. You just can't make a distinct kicking motion. Based on that, I don't see how you can turn that goal over. I don't see it. Even though I agree with you 100%, he knew exactly what he was doing. The other thing is he was getting pushed. He was going full throttle and got pushed, so that allowed him the momentum to sort of skate into it. So it's not like he had time. It's not like he was at a standstill and at a full stop just wound up and just booted it in. He's moving full speed. So I just thought it was a heady, smart play. And the only other option was to try to get out of the way of the puck. But you could – I mean, I think he – probably could have let it go and still elected to have his skate out there. But I've seen goals scored like that since they clarified this rule. It happens all the time. I'd love to know what our listeners thought of that, if they saw that. Of course, it happened pretty late at night. I don't know how many people stayed up or if had a chance to go back and look at it. I would love to know what people thought. You can argue either way, but whew. That's a tough way. Because I think they win the game if they win that. Although, how many times last night did you say, well, Flames have got this one, and then boom, the Oilers came right back. That one seesawed back and forth a bunch. And at the end of the night, the Oilers, they deserve to win.
The best player in the world won it in the end. Bottom line.
Yep.
You can tell. That guy doesn't really say much. He doesn't, it's kind of like I've described Ryan Tannehill's press conferences, listening to Connor McDavid do a presser or talk to the media. It's like, his personality is not capturing. His play does make you hold your breath. It's like, whoa. But you can tell. I mean, there is some umph to his game. There's no doubt. And I think if it ends up being Colorado, I think Colorado-Edmonton is going to be a whole lot of fun. A whole lot of fun. All right, we'll come back. Eric Moses will tell you what's going on at the Nashville Super Speedway. We're getting a little bit closer to their huge weekend. We'll do that next. Thank you, Mookie. Back here on the DDC on this Friday morning. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. You know, Willie, I've got a faster car than the last time we took our vehicles on the track. I don't know if yours is faster today or not, but I'd like to rerun that again because I've got a faster car than when we did it a long time ago.
Tracy Chapman, you got a fast car.
I do. Let's bring in Eric Moses. He knows we have violated his track in the past. He was not the president at the time.
It was not on his watch.
So we could say it and laugh because he wasn't there. Eric, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing well. Always feel good to be with you guys.
So we are right at a month away from your big weekend, and we know Sunday will be the Ally 400 with the Cup Series. Saturday will be the Tennessee Lottery 250 with the Xfinity, and then Friday night all the action begins with the Rackley Roofing 200 for the Truck Series. I'm going to ask you, as we sit here, what did you learn from year one, all the feedback that you got, that you can now you're looking forward to seeing now that you've implemented some changes to whatever feedback, wherever direction you're going with this question, that you're interested to see how it plays out in year two?
Yeah, I mean, we were very fortunate to have such great support from the folks in and around Middle Tennessee and frankly all over the country for our first weekend. As you would expect, when you bring something back after a long layoff, there are some bumps in the road, and so we are addressing those things pretty aggressively. One of the things that we wish we had done better on was getting people into the venue. Mm-hmm. And so, as for most big events, everyone descends on the place around the same time, and that causes traffic to back up some. So what we've done is we've cleared about 20-plus acres across the street from the track on some land that we own to add another almost 3,000 parking spaces. So that way, cars that come onto McCrary Road, which is our main way into the Super Speedway, will be able to load on both sides of the street, getting you off that street and into a parking lot much faster and therefore into the venue faster. We also aren't charging at the track for parking. So as before, last year, people were stopping to pay their money and usually ask questions before they park, also slowing things up. This year, you'll just be directed to a parking space more quickly, and there won't be any money exchange. So those things we think will really help with getting folks into the venue faster. We've spent a lot of time talking to our public safety partners in Wilson and Rutherford County about traffic plans. We think we'll have an improved traffic plan this year that will inform people earlier which ways they can go and can't go so that they can get out to the track faster. And finally, on the concessions line that were longer than we wanted last year, we've added over 60 new points of sale. There'll be more staffing there, and we'll make certain that and actually we've upgraded some of the technology there to move those to process those transactions faster as well. So we think that those things, along with more tenting, more shade, misters, and things of that nature, and water all around the campus will make it better for fans, especially if we see the temperatures we saw last year.
Well done. Those are a lot of those are good changes in my mind. Anytime anybody's ever gone to a big event, you hit on all the hot spots, right? That's usually the feedback you get if there's trouble in Paradise. It's probably the areas you just hit on. By the way, just repeat that one more time for everybody out there. We all know just checking out or buying anything, it's brutal. Did you just say free parking? F-R-E-E, free parking?
Yeah, you won't have to pay at the track. We did add a parking fee to all of the tickets But that is paid when you buy your ticket, and it's not you won't have to pay at the track. So, and frankly, that parking fee is less than what we were charging for parking last year.
There you go. Well, that to get things moving along, that makes sense. I do want to ask you, because we haven't talked in a while, has everything gone through on the sale? I mean, you guys are in new ownership, right? You've been operating under new ownership?
I am in Charlotte at corporate headquarters for Speedway Motorsports now, going to get ready for the Coke 600 this weekend. Things are going fantastic. It feels really great to be part of the Speedway Motorsports family of tracks. And to have such great support from the Smith family and the visionaries in that company who have done things like, you know, what they've done at Bristol with the biggest college football game of all time and what they do in Las Vegas and Sonoma, Atlanta, and Charlotte. So we are grateful to be a part of that family and finding lots and lots of support, which folks will see and experience when they come out to the racetrack this year.
Last year, I was there, and the scene was unbelievable, especially considering how long we had been, you know, in the pandemic, and just, you know, it was just great to see a crowd like that at a sporting event again. Do you feel like, where as we sit here a month out, are you on track? Are you tracking for the same, less, a little more? Where are you crowd-wise for this upcoming weekend in about a month, Eric?
Well, we think we're tracking for the same. I will tell you, tickets are still available. They're going fast, but they're still available. So we hope that your listeners will take advantage of that. By this time last year, we were probably already sold out. And that's to be expected with a first-time event. First time we had to cut back in 37 years at an inaugural event. In year two, the folks who decided to check that off their list and said, well, been there and done that, maybe have been out, but it's going to be bigger and better this year. We've already announced the Brothers Osborne as our pre-race concert, and unlike last year, you will be able to purchase an infield track pass that will get you front and center, right in front of the stage, on the ball field, in the infield, you know, to experience that concert this year. And we've also announced, as you guys I'm sure are aware, Kane Brown is going to be our grand marshal. So we're pretty excited. We're going to have some more big announcements to come.
That's awesome. Eric Moses is with us. He's the Nashville Super Speedway president. We're about a month away from some big events out there, as he is detailing to us. But, Eric, you have not revealed yet, and we need to know this. This is important. Will Chase McCabe be back as one of the voices in the press box for the PA?
The PA. Hard-hitting question.
Will,
I like this.
He will indeed.
Okay.
Chase will indeed. And unless you guys tell me he's done something, you know, lately that I hadn't heard about, will be back.
I don't think that's the issue. Of course, his title now, we call him the suit. He's been elevated. He's full-on program director now. So he's got a lot of responsibilities here. But I didn't know if that affected his ability to help the Super Speedway. This is good news. This is big.
Yeah. We are happy to have him and his knowledge of our sport and his love and passion for the sport. So we're excited about it.
Awesome. All right. Tell us about the next-gen car that's running out there, too, because I think fans will want to know about that.
Man, you know, the racing this year has been great, you know, week in and week out. And I think a big part of that is because the playing field in some ways has been leveled because everybody's working with new equipment. And the next gen car is the main reason that that's happening. Take that new car, which all the teams are getting to know and understand how they could tweak it to make it faster and combine that with the fact that our racetrack is still relatively new for most of the fields. I think it's going to provide for some really exciting racing. So we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to having folks back out. You know, last year Kyle Larson was decimating the field mostly week in and week out. This year it's been a lot of parity. New winners almost every week, except for I think William Byron as a repeater. But it's anybody's guess who's going to win.
While you're out in Charlotte, if you run into Michael Jordan, invite him to the race weekend. Time to come on to Nashville.
Three times that he will be there, and I have reason to believe that he will be there to watch the 23-11 team compete. So he has told me on three different occasions he will be there. So I'm leaning on the Tar Heel thing, leaning on Tar Heel connection.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we need to get Coach Stack out there, too. Get Jerry Stackhouse out there as well. Good stuff.
I'm working on it. One thing your listeners should know also is for all of you guys like you two who want to get a car, your car, out on the track, you will have that opportunity before the Ally 400. From 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we will let cars come out and drive on the track to raise money for Speedway Children's Charities, which is the nonprofit that Speedway Motorsports has had since the 80s that helps us to raise money and then give money back to nonprofits that help children in the communities where our tracks are located. So,
what a great idea.
9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Yeah, if you want to get out there and get your car on the track right before the Ally 400, you can do it. You just go to speedwaycharities.org and you can sign up.
Wow, that is on race day? Wow, that is fantastic.
Yeah. So you guys have to promise not to run into the wall and have us have to clean up before it's time for the bridge.
I was going to say, that's a lot of nerves right there. It's for a great cause, but, man, you're trusting people to do the right thing before your big cup race, man.
We are.
Wow, that's outstanding. Eric, thanks for the visit. As always, we'll chat soon. Looking forward to another big race weekend coming up here in about a month. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you guys for having me and for what you do.
And enjoy the Coca-Cola 600 in Charlotte. Yeah. Eric Moses, Nashville Super Speedway track president. And, man, their weekend is almost here. Well, like I said, we're a month out. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, June 24th, 5th, and 6th. Of course, Truck Series on Friday, Xfinity Series on Saturday. And then the Cup race will be at 4 o'clock our time, 4 o'clock on Sunday. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of the DDC next. Nashville's best deal of the week is Nashville B-Cycle. Nashville B-Cycle has been Music City's station-based bike share system since 2013. Get half off a monthly pass to Nashville B-Cycle, where you can enjoy unlimited 60-minute rides for 30 days now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Back here on the DDC, Brooks Bratton from the Preds for the moment will join us to begin the second hour as we say goodbye to him. Yes, for the moment. As I said, I think today's his last day. I think this is it. This is it. What, 7 years, I believe. We'll get all the deets from Brooks coming up at 11 o'clock. You just made the list at high noon. We'll also check in with our buddy Caleb Joseph at 1 o'clock as the Gators just went yard on Arkansas.
That's the second time in the inning that they've gone yard. They are opening it up. A couple of homers.
Well, it's just 4-0. So, yeah, no big deal. It's fifth inning.
Yeah, but that park, it's hard to score a lot of runs. Unless you're Tennessee.
Unless you're Tennessee. And honestly, the way LSU's playing. But
LSU's on a roll.
They had two key guys out of the lineup last night, and so they still put it on Kentucky. I'll tell you what, that Dylan Cruz guy, whoo, man, is he good.
Well, the SEC is never short. In fact, it would be fun to put together a year-by-year, here are the best players in the league from, you know, just pick a year that you want to start. I played in the first tournament that was at that park, and this is pretty crazy to think about. 1990 was the first year they moved the SEC tournament to Hoover. And back then, it was a pretty new park. And they've kept it in really good shape. And it hasn't been played there every year since then. They had a couple of breaks in there for one reason or another. But I would love to see a year-by-year, here's who played in the SEC tournament. Because you'll see these guys, they're peppered all over Major League Baseball. And unfortunately, I'm not on the list, even though I...
You're not. You would be on the show if you were.
I played down there, but
yeah.
I won't be on the list of who went on to great things.
No.
In big league baseball.
This is true. Arkansas getting the bullpen up and moving around. This is an elimination game, so Arkansas in trouble.
Arkansas is an interesting one because they racked up a lot of wins. They won the Western Division. But their RPI is not good. Mm-hmm. And they dominate at home, but they don't play a lot of road games. So they're number three in the seeds. So I don't know. I'm guessing they're going to host a regional, but where will they be seeded nationally? Will they be the top eight national seed? Because that's the key. Will they play at home throughout?
Yeah.
Because there's a massive difference in whether they play at home or on the road.
Yeah. We'll find out soon enough.
I'm watching the ACC tournament going on. A couple of top 25 teams, Notre Dame and Virginia, are playing 1-0 bottom of the third. Unfortunately, Middle Tennessee eliminated from their tournament yesterday. Lipscomb also eliminated. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. Lipscomb will play Kennesaw State. Lipscomb lost yesterday. They're 1-1. They play Kennesaw State today to stay alive in the A-Sun tournament. Middle just, I don't know what happened. I think they had a little COVID hit them, lost a couple of key guys, and just couldn't get back on track. They got blitzed twice, 18-7 and then 22-0 yesterday. I don't know what happened to the Blue Raiders there, but it was not pretty. And Belmont is the other team locally to keep your eye on in the OVC, and they will play later today. Belmont was down 9-2 yesterday early to SIU Edwardsville, stormed back to win, and they will play Tennessee Tech today up in Lexington, KY, at 2 o'clock.
Tennessee Tech?
Tennessee Tech.
Team that handed Tennessee their first loss of the season?
That is correct. That is correct. Belmont's had a great year. They're 39-19, I think.
In a wooden bat game at Smoky Stadium.
Yep. I assume they're playing at Kentucky's Park, or is there a minor league park in Lexington?
Yeah.
They have a single A team, right? So I'm guessing maybe that's where they're playing,
I guess. You don't remember Roger Clemens?
That's right. Roger Clemens pitched in that park.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Before going to George Steinbrenner's box.
Well,
was that before or after?
Wasn't his son on the team?
His son was on the team. Yeah.
And they got all kinds of new stuff out of Roger because of that.
They got new gear.
They did. Well, they got all kinds of stuff. New stuff. So,
was some of it illegal? Is that what you're implying?
No.
You're talking about gear. You're talking about
doping. I'm talking about electronics and, you know, like a tour bus.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I'm just joking.
Nice stuff.
Just joking, but
hot,
not really.
Hot tubs,
B12 supplements?
You know, B-cycle, B12, I don't know.
Balco memberships.
All right, I have a question for you, Darren. You heard Eric Moses talking about Michael Jordan perhaps coming to the event, which would be awesome.
Well, perhaps. He said three times.
He said
times.
He's committed. I'm leaving just a little sliver.
I know.
I just, you know, let's hope it happens, and I'm sure it will. Have you ever met Michael Jordan or anybody of that caliber? It just sparked my memory because I think I've told you this before. They played, the Bulls, way, way back, played an exhibition game, preseason game, at Memorial Gym when Michael Jordan was a superstar. But they had not won the championship yet, so it still hadn't. It was before the first three-peat. In fact, it might have been the start of that season that they won the first one. And my coach, Eddie Fogler, was his assistant coach at North Carolina. So he just came by and said hello. He didn't talk to the team or anything like that, but we all got to meet him. We got, you know, 10 seconds to shake his hand or whatever. So at the time, you're like, Mr. Cool teenage guy. You know, I was, 18 or 19 years old. I didn't realize just what a big thing that was, really. But looking back, I'm like, yeah, I actually got to meet Michael Jordan. So what would be – who is, like,
the most famous
person you think you've met? Because he might be that for me, I would say.
Well, as you know, we met Jim Brown.
That's a pretty good one there.
We did get
to meet him.
He did, like,
we had him on the show, and he was
– 30 minutes.
Yeah, and he was quite intimidating. He took a shot at me on the
he
air.
Really
and, like,
did.
I wasn't really about to come back.
And, oh, by the way
– I don't really get Willie's question.
Yeah, he didn't.
What's Willie talking about?
I was next, and I was like, oh, crap. He was shredding Willie, and I've got to ask questions next. So I was kind of a little bit of pee went down my leg, just a little bit. I remember Jim Brown. Barry Sanders is also one of the Super Bowls. He sat down with me. I met him, probably spent 15 minutes around Barry Sanders. That was really cool. I've never met Michael Jordan. I have met Barkley. So I'm going to put him up there in that ilk. I'm trying to think. I mean, this Michael Jordan level is I've never
Gretzky?
Met.
Gretzky? Oh, you separated your shoulder the day that I got to interview Gretzky.
I never met Gretzky.
You would have. I got to interview him a couple times.
No. If I was at the arena in 1998, I would have let him in the door when security
didn't believe it was
Wayne Gretzky. I would have let him in. I mean, I know who he is, but I haven't met him. I would have met him that day if I let him into the building. I don't know. I mean, that's a really good question.
The most famous person you've met. I think that would be it for me. Like, I'm thinking non-sports. I don't think I've gotten. Like, I did get to meet Taylor Swift. Remember, didn't you and I both get to meet her?
Oh, I met her.
It was way before she – actually, it was maybe about a year before she really exploded. So, at the time, we didn't understand where that was going.
Oh, I met her. It was a very brief conversation.
Yeah.
When she said, I'm here for the interview, and I said, the interview. This is a sports talk show? She's like, no. I was like, you are again? She's like, Taylor? I'm like,
So that might be the number one ranked.
Well, I guess that was literally the encounter. Like, sorry, I think you're probably looking for our sister station, you know?
But you had a conversation.
I did. And then
I didn't get that. I think I got the, this is Taylor, this is Willie. Okay, see you later. It was, because we were back behind the stage at the 4th of July. It was the big 4th of July celebration that we used to help out with. And they had these huge crowds, of course, and they had the Oak Ridge Boys, and depending on what year, you got a lot of different variety of acts, including some up-and-comers. And back then, she was the up-and-coming star that hadn't really hit it yet. It was just before. So, like, it was like a couple years later, you're like, wait a minute, that's the girl? That's her? Yeah.
Well, I was at Wild Horse, and I went to the bathroom, and there was a big poster of her. I was like, I called Lauren at the time, who was not my wife, and I said, who's Taylor Swift? She's like, she's a big, she's a country music artist that's on the rise. She's going to be big. And I was like, oh, well, I just met her.
Okay.
I didn't even know who she was.
She's rising up the list. She's got to be the top five most famous.
I hung out at Poolside, just hanging out with the lead singer Three Doors Down, Brad Arnold, in the Keys. Does that count?
Well, yeah, it counts. But you think, is that top five, though? I mean, they're a pretty big band.
Pretty big. I mean, it was just
Taylor Swift would have to be, and Charles Barkley had more name recognition.
But, I mean, in the Keys, you know, Duck Key, hanging out Poolside, just the two of us.
Oh, I'm not talking about you have to know them. I'm just talking about you met them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you want to hear something crazy? That night, I was trying to convince him that they should play at the Nashville Super Speedway before a race. Literally, I'm not even kidding. That was back the first go-around of Nashville Super Speedway. That was part of our conversation. Because they were living here. They had just moved here. Yep. That happened. That did happen. All right, we'll come back. We'll begin the second hour. Brooks Bratton, also our buddy Penny Collins, will tell us about a big charity basketball event he's got coming up, too, before we get out of the second hour. Second hour, DDC next.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.